So we're back. We've talked a lot about ministry, about calling, about opportunities for training,
competence,
all of these things. But now
we want to talk about confidence.
Confidence.
Okay. So confidence comes when you put your calling, which we talked about in the first three sessions,
yes,
and your competence, which we talked about in the next three
sections,
into practice, and that's called leadership. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So where do you start with, putting your competence, your learning into practice? And we have, we've been talking about the seven connections
for a long time. In fact, if you take other courses here, you'll see this weaved into so much of our curriculum.
Yeah.
There's a class called the Connections class where you go even deep into all of this. So we have been talking about this since the 1990s.
Right. And it's just a way of thinking about your most important connections in life and how they're sort of interrelated to one another.
Okay.
So if you're going to start leading, because that's what ministry is all about, you're leading others. You're saying, I can help you down a good trail.
Yeah.
Please follow me, just like Paul said that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to first start with yourself.
Yeah.
I think, popular speakers like Jordan Peterson now today, he talks a lot about how people want to change the world, and they have a lot to say about how the world ought to operate, but they can't even keep their own room clean.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe you should start with your own life before you start projecting how other people should do it. And that's true here, too. So leading yourself, first of all, your walk with God. So, if you want to help other people grow close to God, how close to God are you? And if you're not daily talking to him, that's prayer, listening to him, that in its simplest form is Bible and learning and all of those things. If you're not doing that
repeatedly,
if you're not doing that, then how are you going to help other people get connected to God?
Yeah, I want to just take a little pause there. And it's really about what's real.
Yeah.
And if your walk in faith is not real.
Right.
Ultimately, this is Christian leaders.
Yes.
And if the church doesn't have people connected to Christ,
right,
the witness then has to move into social causes, like the social gospel. We have to find some secondary good to do if the awesome good that we are all about is being connected to Jesus Christ in a living relationship. That's really the gospel we share.
Right. So it begins with your own walk with God, and then what comes out of a walk with God is a walk that you're actually trying to put into practice what you're learning as you walk with God, that relationship that grows through prayer and Bible reading and Bible study. Now, are you living it? I mean, you could just read the Bible and pray and not do anything, and then what would be the point? So you need to lead yourself. No one's going to force you to walk with God. And then live out. It's like the living word.
Yeah.
It's not just reading the
gratitude
word,
life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you start living the Christ-like life in your words, in your actions, and in your thoughts. Galatians 2:20.
I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
So that connection to God, it's the most important connection. It's the foundation for everything else. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about church. But unless you have individuals actually walking with God, all the rest of the connections sort of fall apart.
Right.
So this is absolutely the starting place. Maybe you have a vision of planting a church or doing all kinds of other ministry. But what we found in our experience is people can go off and do awesome ministry, but then a lot of times it implodes at some point because there's some moral failure or something happens, Because it's like a house of cards, not built on the foundation.
Right, right.
That's connection one. Connection two, if you happen to be married, or this might be like a partner or someone that you're really close to, leading in your marriage. And again, your marriage walk with God.
Right.
So what I think is interesting is often we marry our opposites, or there's a lot of things that we're opposite. And God gives us these hormones that sort of attract, you know, we get attracted, but we have this opposite thing.
Right.
And so people have a hard time doing marriage devotion.
Right.
Sitting down with the Bible and praying. You know, one wants to go deep, one wants to go shallow, one wants to do it fast, one wants to take, you know, an hour.
Learning style.
All of those things.
Right.
So what's going on here? I think it can be hard. Often it's hard to get started.
Right.
In some ways, it's really interesting. You know, people can be physically intimate.
Right.
But then when you ask them to sit down and pray, like, you know,
I never pray with my spouse.
Yeah, it's like it's too intimate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's even more intimate than physical intimacy.
Right.
We don't go there.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's really breaking the ice and trying it, and we're going to show you how easy it really can be. But the reason why it's so important is this is the most important relationship you have on the planet. It's foundation to so many other things, and it's, how are you going to put God at the center of it?
So Professor Ruth, who teaches a class on sexuality in marriage, talks about the intimacy of physical, but talks about that spiritual intimacy as foundational to that.
Right.
So a lot of people, they experience the physical intimacy in marriage, but the professor on great sexual experience in marriage, sex in marriage, talks about the spiritual is foundational to that.
Right. And, you know, if you just think about it, it makes sense.
It does.
So your marriage, again, the words that you say to each other, how you treat each other, and your marriage mission.
Right.
The reason God instituted this thing called marriage is not just so we can, you know, have a partner, but we can have a partner in mission.
Yes. Mission partner.
That somehow two of you together can accomplish more than each of you individually.
So when you are yoked together in the Lord, you have purpose.
Right.
So just being yoked together in the Lord is a purpose-filled marriage.
Right. And that's where the opposites attract thing is in your favor, because now you cover a lot more bases.
Yeah.
One might be good at one thing and someone else, and that's what makes partnerships often work.
So often you have to figure out how to get together in the Word, get together in prayer.
Right.
But even the figuring of that out is great training for leadership.
Right. Because if you can get along with someone who's the opposite of you,
right,
then you can almost get along and lead
others who are very different than you.
Right.
Very powerful.
So some verses on the marriage connection. Genesis 1:28, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So this whole male-female thing was part of who God is. It's like his image. God is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A collective, almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now to represent that, he creates these two different things. When they come together, they
just reflect. Like Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, husband and wife, the two shall become one flesh.
Right.
In fact, that's the next one, Genesis 2:24-25. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife, and they became one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
And then Genesis 1:29, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. It's interesting that there's a few things that God actually says to Adam and Eve. In Genesis 1, it's this, be fruitful.
Yeah.
Go out and make things happen. And then in Genesis 2, they're supposed to till the earth and
be stewards.
So in other words, action. I want you people doing something. There's like a mission. There's like a project. You come together and this God-glorifying mission that God. So what is that? And the foundation of that, again, is your devotional life together so that you are on the same page. So you do hear what God is saying to both of you. You know, God may say something different to your spouse than he does to you, but then you learn from each other. You have a unique relationship to God with each other.
One little side issue that's kind of fascinating is when God says for them to be stewards, that word later becomes the word deacon.
Right.
So
which
is ministry. So he's saying to Adam and Eve, be ministers of the planet.
Right.
Develop it. Right. Ministers, deacons of planetary development. Be fruitful. And then later on, ministers. We are stewards and servants for God in the church.
Right. So we talk about this marriage connection as a leadership issue. We're talking right about putting your learning into practice.
Yes.
And this is, if you can't lead yourself and you can't even lead within your own marriage, then again, how are you going to start leading in other ministries?
Well,
so it's great training.
We have the 35 to 40 years of ministry and leadership trained to know, and we've seen, as you mentioned before, the implosion.
Right.
And it starts in your own life and with your spouse if you're married.
Right. So we know a lot of pastors who are trying to make great things happen.
Right.
But the spouse doesn't share that vision. And
well, remember back, here's a good story. Remember back when we were with the Bible League, when we first discovered the connections.
Right.
And you were leading that campaign. And so we would do conferences.
Yeah.
So I was more of the marketing getting people there. He was figuring out how the presentations were going to go. And so our first generations of them, the spouses did not come to ministers alone.
Yeah, and they were so excited when
they left.
Oh,
this is crazy.
And then
they would come back. Part of our thing was come back for next generation training. And a good portion of them did not make it. They failed.
Yeah.
So we analyzed it. What's wrong? It seems this is biblical. You know, if you can't manage your own home, you know, what's wrong? And we found a simple thing. If the leader brought their spouse, they succeeded.
Right.
If they didn't, they didn't.
Right.
It's almost as if the minister himself or herself would go home, and maybe that minister had other things in the past that they failed on, and that spouse didn't even believe that anything was possible anymore.
Right. Yeah, you were excited about other things you didn't follow through with, so why should I believe you now?
So there had to be buy-in in figuring out how a talking, listening relationship with God could actually be possible in the marriage. And if there was not buy-in, it hurt their ability to walk with God as a married couple.
Right. And that, of course, even, you know, so that hurts your ministry. But it also hurts if you have children.
Right.
You know, what your children start seeing. They're not going to follow you either.
Right.
So
if
connection,
you're not connected as a married couple, the children will see right through it.
Right. So that leads to connection three, which is leading in your family.
Right.
And so you start with a family walk with God. Which
talking
is devotion.
Devotion.
Now, I grew up, you know, back in a day when, you know, families used to eat together, and that was before the fast food and the microwave and how food is so easy today, at least in our Western culture.
Right.
And so families don't eat together anymore. Because we tied our devotions, our family devotions, to eating together. And, you know, we ate every day. So we did our devotions every day. But when that eating time habit sort of fell apart for a lot of young families, so did the devotional walk. And so now families are being pulled into, you know, they have their own music, they have their own
friends. And if they do sit together.
Yeah.
Sitting there with their phone.
Exactly.
Right. You know,
so families don't even have the habit of being together for anything.
Right.
And then even sometimes when you go to church and then the men go here and the women go here and the kids go here and each have their own class. And so the family is really struggling, is what we see in our culture.
And I think we want to say, maybe find a way to reclaim a little bit of, you know, three times a week or even once a week on Sunday or a day. I mean, find a way to sort of bring God and the practice of walking with God into that family relationship. Yes. Even if you get some the teenage child who's right. like, I don't want to do this. Well, you know what? You're still bringing them to the winning path.
Yes. And the excuse is, well, it's too difficult in our modern culture.
Yeah.
Okay, so then our option is to either give up
right.
and say it just can't be done,
right.
or we had just better find a way because this is not something we can give up.
Right, right. Well, and it also, too, is that it makes your default not technology,
right.
social media, and everything. You actually show your children that you can do something countercultural.
Right.
Which they themselves don't even believe is possible, but if they can do something countercultural, that skill is a great skill for life. And if you teach them that skill around the Lord and the Word of God, that's powerful stuff.
Right. So your family, the words that you say to each other, how you treat each other, your family mission.
Yeah.
The reason God places us in families is because there's something we can do as families that we couldn't do otherwise.
Right.
Often it's the kids that make you more faithful in terms of, you know, daily prayer. You know, if you start daily prayer with your family and then you skip, it'll be your kids going, hey, don't exactly. we pray? Or if you're going to church every week and then you skip, it's your kids that are going to say, hey, don't we go to church?
Right.
And so in some ways, the family is the support system for your personal walk, your marriage walk. These things all, you can see how these things all tie together. You're going to try to have a family walk, but you personally aren't walking with God.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of hypocritical. Or as a husband and wife, you don't ever deal with God and talk about God, but you want your kids to show up for family devotions.
Steve, this concept has now, after 3 decades of teaching this, become so powerful. In one thing I've noticed is that many times if you start this in your family as a young family and the kids get into this pattern and you've established it and now the kids grow up and leave home, you will find that you'll miss that. You'll
right.
miss the accountability.
Right, right, right.
My wife and I have had to be even more intentional
right.
about doing our connection
right.
to devotions because the
right.
the family structure, yeah. that glass, that yeah. habit you talked
right.
about earlier
right.
was sort of different. So and we've done that. But
right.
it has been one of those things where the if you get this going, it is a beautiful thing. And you
yeah.
add some memorization to that, and then you teach your kids how to do so many countercultural things. 15 minutes a day is all you need. In a class further, we'll tell you more about this.
Right. Okay, so why are these first 3 connections so important? Your personal walk, your marriage walk, your family walk. This is such an interesting verse.
Yeah.
First Timothy 3:5, and it's actually in parentheses. It's sort of like an aside.
Yeah.
By the way, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church?
Ooh, this is called Christian leaders now.
Right.
If you're a Christian leader, if you will face the walls
right.
of managing a 16-year-old, 15-year-old,
yes.
to actually sit down and hear the Word of God and to participate
yes.
in prayer, that skill alone
right.
will make a difference in your ministry.
Right. Well, and not only will it, you know, it becomes a microcosm of where you learn how to actually lead.
Right.
Because you're learning how to lead in the
right.
in the context of your family. But it also becomes an incredible example to anyone that you're trying to lead.
Right.
So if you're trying to lead a church or a small group or something like that, people will look at how well you're doing your own family.
Right.
If you have a lousy marriage, why are they going to follow you in a Bible study? Or why
right.
are they going to follow you in a church plant? So in some ways, the time you spend on your marriage and family walk is only enhancing. It's not like some people have it, well, I have all this ministry work to
mm-hmm.
do, and then I have my family, and they're competing for time,
right.
and I just don't have some time for family. No. All the effort and time that you put into the family and marriage thing actually transfers into the small group or leading your church or what other ministry that you do. So they're not competing. They're actually
supporting
supporting one another.
Now, here's a couple of things that must be said. A, remember, you're ultimately bringing them to the windy path. Right. You can't guarantee that every child will own Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they will be able to say, if they're prodigal sons, yes, we are prodigal sons.
Right.
Okay, they will go like, okay, we have rejected that for whatever reason.
Right.
Secondly, this is not saying that if you did not do this practice in the past, you are now a failure if your children are grown up and all
out of the house.
I mean, because essentially this pattern was lost for a generation and a half. So we're bringing back something
but you know
that
we,
was, you know, hasn't been practiced largely for 50 years.
But even if your kids are out of the house, you can start now.
Yes.
You could just call them and say, you know, I is there a path we can both be on? And once in a while we call each other and talk about it.
I mean,
that's, you know, we have the Christian Leaders Planner. It's got reading tracks. It's got a verse of the day, different ways of you know, accessing the Word of God. And so it is possible that you could be on the same track with your grown children or your grandchildren. It's never too late.
So there are opportunities to, no matter what the past has been, to own today.
Yes.
And the connection with your family, and it doesn't matter if you're 80,
right,
when you look back, or 50 or 70, or you're a young family. It all starts by taking responsibility. And that manage is not saying there is an automatic outcome.
No.
It means that you take responsibility to do your part,
right,
to walk with God, to love your family, and to give your family to the Lord. You are a minister of your family, a steward.
Right.
So it's like you're a steward of yourself. A minister of yourself, you're a steward in your marriage, and you're a steward in your family that is a minister.
And that, you know,
it's all about ministry.
Being a steward of your family is no small church.
Yeah.
It's like a little church. Yeah. Because if you have two kids, and your kids grow up, get married, and have two kids, and that pattern goes on for 400 years, there'll be a million people in your family tree, a million in your church that you're establishing right now.
Right. So, wow. How fun, how cool, and we're all involved with this.